Hi, y'all. I'm Tim Ferris, and I represent the Northside Group, the Hendersonville crew, of which is really two or three people. And I'm up here with Randy Chance, one of the guys I meet with. We meet at First Church of Panera, Hendersonville campus, which it really seems like that. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story of what we do and how we kind of got together. Then Randy's going to tell you some of the stuff that's going on in the midst of that, I think is what we're doing. We moved to Nashville in 1984, and shortly after that started going to a church in Madison, and Randy and his wife and family were among the first people that we met there, so we've known each other as friends for ever how long that is, 27 years or so, something like that. His wife and my wife have been involved in Bible study various and sundry ways for a good bit of those 27 years. They went through some of the Navigator Church Discipleship Ministries together, and they've been in Bible study with another group of ladies for 8 years, probably something like that. But we had never done anything, personally with each other, been involved in some similar groups, in the same group of people doing things like that. But what I found works for me, just the way God has me geared and the way God's pointed me in my life, is really, I guess, best exemplified by the 2 Timothy 2:2 that a lot of you know. You know, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, that one-on-one, man-to-man, just get it to the next guy so that they can pass that on. And my wife and I actually left the church in Madison that we were at for a few years and then ended up coming back. And shortly after we came back, we have what we call a men's steak night, where the excuse is basically we have some speaker say something that's relevant about Christianity, but again, it's an excuse for us to eat steaks. And it's just for the guys, no girls allowed, and it's a lot of fun. And shortly after we came back from that, one of the leaders of that asked if I wouldn't, be willing to talk for that that night. And I said, sure. And so what I did was, The talk I gave was basically based on that 2 Timothy 2:2 and the idea of investing yourself in a few guys so that they can reproduce and multiply rather than just adding numbers, right? You know, 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 gets a lot bigger than 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 does, right? Sorry, I'm a math kind of guy and I get geeky like that. But so I talked about that and then more or less closed the talk, as I recall, with something about if there's anybody that would be interested in studying the Bible one-on-one with me, that's kind of what I'm here for. That's what I'd like to do. And either that night or maybe the next Sunday at church, I don't remember exactly the timing of it, but he said he wanted to do that. And I'm like, wow, well, that would really be cool. Because I'm pretty sure our wives have been praying about that for years and years and years, but I do know that for a fact, at least on my wife's side of it. And so we started meeting together, and the first thing we did was the first thing we did was the 30 discipleship exercises, and just, getting verses, just kind of basic scriptural impact on more or less daily things or, everyday life sort of stuff. And then we went through the John study, and I remember as we were finishing up the John study, Randy said something to the effect of, okay, this has taught me an awful lot about Jesus, and I really appreciate that, but I need to know more about the Holy Spirit, so can we do something on that? So I, get some stuff. We spend a couple of months working on the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, and Holy Spirit working on us. And while that's going on, I remember, this may not be, fair to say, but I remember thinking, is this really doing any good? Not that you're promised that you'll see the difference that you're making in somebody's life, but I remember having the thought of wondering, is this making any difference in Randy's life? And not really knowing if it was or not. And then we, 2 years ago, both came to the retreat. And I think we rode together to the retreat, I think, didn't we? I believe we did. And either on the way home or the next time we met or whatever, he said words to the effect of, I think I need to start memorizing verses. Imagine that. You go to a Navigator retreat and come back convicted about memorizing verses. Oh, my gosh. How did that ever happen?
My mistake.
Yeah. So, bam, okay, there's a sucker, right? So, we hit the beginning with Christ verses and then move on into the TMS, right? And it's been really neat working through the TMS because, the term I use, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just banging your head against the wall. It's just grunt work. You just got to go through it. You just got to get it done. But God really honors that. And memorizing is really hard for Him, right? It just doesn't come easy. And it's, I've learned as we're working on the verses that if I just shut up and just look at the verse card, that He'll get through the verse. It might take 5 minutes, but He'll get through it. He knows it. It just takes a while to get through it. And so, you know, it's just that grunt work of working through it. But in the midst of doing that, I really started to see the verses take hold and really started to see the things that I remember 2 or 3 years ago, us going over for the 6th or 8th time. And, you know, it took a long time for it to sink in with me and stuff like that. You know, coming back up and being one of those things that He's got a foundation, that He's built a foundation on, is making a difference in His life. And really the past, what you're going to talk about, really the past year and a half, I guess,
something like that.
Couple of years or so, there's been some things going on in his personal life that he's going to tell you about, that as we've hit verses in the TMS, you know, what a coincidence, God's been using those verses to really make a huge difference in his approach to his circumstances. And I think, as an observer, the way those circumstances have played out, kind of like what Richard and we're talking about, he could see how, you know, that no coincidence there, you know, that it had to be God. So I'm going to let Randy tell you about what's been going on the past couple of years with that.
Okay. Well, just as a brief introduction, because there's Tim and maybe a couple more that I know in the audience, and I'm not very well, so I can talk to strangers and not be bothered by it. But there are a couple of other real estate guys in the audience I noticed, Richard and Garrett. So anyway, because some of my story has to do with that, but a brief history about who I am, sort of, so you know where I'm come from. I am attending the same church now that I was born in, so I've never changed churches. Was active all through the church. UMYF and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I even worked with the youth as a youth person through about age 50. And so I've been pretty involved in all of that sort of stuff. But I would consider, looking back, it's a really stable life. I still work and live within 5 miles of the same place that I've grown up. So I've been in the same area doing the same stuff most of my life. But all, as with most of us here, everybody here has issues, have challenges, have problems, have things going on in our lives. It's different for everybody, but we all have them. And as soon as one's over, it seems like another one comes about to take its place. Well, Tim and I, as he said, we meet every Tuesday morning, and that is our time to share, study. Gotten to know Tim even better, of course, and he's one of my very best friends. But over the last few years, some of the challenges that have been in my life, for example, about 3 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. All right, well, it's probably more common than it used to be, and there's survivors are going on now, and, you know, there's so many years. And fortunately for us, we caught it early, and she's cancer-free as far as we know. All the ladies' tests say that. So that was one of the things that was going on while we were doing this Bible study. To compound things, something was going on in my business life. And it was probably through the studies and these things that I was able to face these challenges with God's help. And again, mine's not any more severe than anybody else's, but it's unique to my situation. But before I get into that, most of us guys, the real life part of it is, we have our identity, our self-worth, a lot of who we think we are, at least, is we're identified with what we do, either in our work, either in our sports, something, games that we play in our athletics. Maybe it's something intelligent. It may be, it may be the type of hobby that you have that makes you unique, but we're all identified by something that we are involved in. And one of my things is my work, because I'm basically self-employed. So that makes it pretty important. Not to take away from the fact that, and I think everyone will admit it, and over time have grown to believe it, that nothing's more important than our relationship with our Father, Heavenly Father. But it's a part of life here on earth of what we identify with, and that's what I'm really driving at there. One of the things, though, as a grandfather, there's some new identities coming on in my life because I have three wonderful children, and they have given me now seven great, wonderful grandchildren. And as one of them's ball game yesterday, we're having a good time. The wife, we will celebrate 40 years of marriage come this July. So again, all this stability in my life, but there's issues, there's things going on that just tear me apart. And one of them has to do with work. And that's the one thing I'm going to address here. We, and I say we, the company I'm in currently is owned by three generations. My son, myself, and my father. And so what we do is develop real estate. In Hendersonville, Tennessee, we have a 14-acre tract. Garrett knows about this. He's tried to develop a piece of our property out there, look at it at one time. But this 14 acres, five years ago, we bought this property, went to the banks. We had three or four banks wanting to loan us some money. Economy is rolling really good. We said, well, we can do this. So we were going to develop some retail strip centers, and we had some out parcels that we were going to sell off. And things were really looking good. We had other things going on too, but this was to date and still is our largest development we'd ever done. And we'd acquired about $17 million worth of debt. And so we were on a roll. We got the first building going. We were leasing. And then about 2 years ago plus, the economy started tanking. I probably don't have to tell anybody about that. If you're in any kind of business, you know that things are off. There's hardly any business unless you're a Dollar General store that is not being impacted in a negative way. Well, all of this has come about at a time where that we had all this debt, we had all these grandiose ideas, and we had these buildings going up, but we had to build them, get them built, get them leased up, and have that income in order to pay that debt back. And if we don't pay the debt back, Richard, what happens? We lose what we have in it plus a whole lot more because we signed on all this debt personally. And we didn't have $17 million to lose, to say the least. But so the bottom line is that we had a project that was failing, and it was going to be taking us with it. Banks were calling loans, values of property were going down, retailers jumping off the windows. I won't go into all those kind of things. But what was significant about that to us was not just our self-worth and what people thought. At this point, we were beyond that. It's survival mode. But we, my son, my father, and myself, we're the breadwinners of our three families. And so if we tank, that's three families that's basically gone broke. And we didn't know anything else, at least myself and my dad. We never worked at anything else except real estate for the last 30 years. So to start it over, doing what? Who knows what? So it was personal. It was really emotional. I was sharing it with Tim along the way, saying, you know, this was no way that we was going to make this. But I never had that come to Jesus meeting. I wanted to make that point. Because I was meeting with Jesus every Tuesday morning. Not him, as Tim and Jesus were meeting that every Tuesday morning. And we were discussing these things. And the rest of the week I was listening to what Jesus had to tell me. Because it was important, you know, what's going on? I didn't know what to do. I had reached the point that there was no way for me to make this situation work. The first scripture, the word that I'd like to share, and you've heard it once already tonight. And this one means, there's a couple here that mean a whole lot to me. Joshua 1:8. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Sidebar. Learning these verses, I have to meditate on this word day and night. Because that's how I learn the verses. As Tim says, I'm a visual guy and I like to write it out to memorize it. But I told myself, this is going to be different. I'm going to learn these verses by just studying it and memorizing it and not rewriting them. So that's added to my challenge. Mm-hmm. But it was because I wanted to internalize these verses and I wanted to know and feel them as I was understanding them. So I was meditating on the verses day and night. And the verse goes on, of course, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Well, I knew from the meditation and the studying of the Word that the prosperous part and being successful didn't mean that my project was going to turn around and I was going to start making bukus of money. I didn't have that in mind. I had anticipated making pretty decent money on it in the beginning, but at this time that was out the window. And I knew that by studying the Word that what's important was to just sort of survive, enjoy life, the family, and spread the gospel. Next verse, John 15:7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. When we first studied that verse, and I was starting to memorize it, I thought, well, you know, I can just ask for success and all this stuff to happen, and he'll give it to me. But then I got to realizing, well, if I'm really in the Word, like I was at the time and still am, God is going to put in our hearts really what it is we should be asking for. And I'm sure hopefully most all of you have studied this verse and know what I'm talking about. But these are very powerful words because if God's words are in me, then I'm going to be asking for or wishing for not a lot of money. I'm wishing for health and prosperity with my family and friends. Next verse. Philippians 4:6-7. The first few words really tell the whole story. Do not be anxious about anything. These were comforting words because we were studying this as the economy was tanking. And I was telling him, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out. It can't work out. There just wasn't any way. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I was not doing anything out of the ordinary, but I was making my request. And the next verse, and the peace of God. First it says, don't be anxious. Then make your request, petition God. And then you've got the peace of God that transcends all understanding. The word peace has certainly taken on a really new meaning for me in the tough times. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, I come to realize that peace comes from God, comes from knowing God. That's not something you can just create, meditate on, and it comes about. I think peace comes from God.
Yeah, and if I can interrupt, hitting those verses at that time was when I started really seeing the Word taking hold in his life, because what Randy was describing to me as his personal circumstances was making me nervous, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you dealing with that? But he's just sitting there, Panera, describing what's going on, and he's flatlining it. He's handling it.
Well,
helping him handle it.
And on that sidebar, there's several guys in our office that work on different things than we do. And one of them came to me just 2 weeks ago, like I shared that with you. And he came in and said, I want to ask some advice from you. I said, okay. He said, you've been through some... He was aware of what was going on in my life and the business because he's in real estate but not doing what I'm doing. And he admitted to me that he had seen me go through this and how relatively calm that I had been doing with that. And so he was seeking advice from me because of that peace that I had shared. But the rest of this verse, of course, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I was being guarded, and I know that. The situation had gotten to the point where we were trying to figure out how we were going to bail out of this thing. We had run out of money. I didn't see that there was any way that I could pay off the debt. We, the family, either. We couldn't pay off the millions of dollars we owed. I could not change the economy's direction to where it was headed. And there was no way for us to overcome the inevitable. We were going to have to file bankruptcy and just belly up. That's all we could do. And then it was one morning, right in the midst of all this, that Tim and I were sitting there talking. And I told Kim, I said, Tim, if I can get through this, and my family can get through this, and come out the other side, and I can still have a job and some income, and just survive this whole thing, I will have been granted a miracle from God. There was no way that I could do it or influence it. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and you hear people say that all the time, but I think that's the first time I've heard somebody say it and really mean it. There was no way this was going to work out right unless, you know, boom, you know, magic genie or something happens, because it was going to be a flat-out miracle.
And I've looked back in my life, and I can picture other situations where I know it was God's intervention that caused me to get through that situation. But this is one that I was facing that it was a blank wall and there was no way I could get through it. It wasn't going to happen. I couldn't maneuver because I'm the negotiator and I know how to kind of get through things and around things, but there was no way. It wasn't going to happen. Well, today all things are not wonderful, but I'm here to tell you that that property, we're closing on one piece of dirt next week to McDonald's. We've got two of the three buildings built. They're 100% leased. Now, that's not enough to pay all the debt, original debt, but the bank has worked with us. They've even taken my son and my father off the debt from the personal guarantees. For those in the business understand, that's another miracle in itself. I'm the only one left on it, but it's manageable. They reduced the debt to where it's something that the property should cover it. So I'm comfortable with where it's at. It's not that it just poofed and went away and everything's rosy. We're not making many money off the project, but I'm not losing any either. So it is a miracle at this moment in time that we have survived that and we're working on other new projects and are being able, in my mind, I'm being able to get back to work on something that will be, that will make a living on. Instead of totally work, because I was consumed with this for the last couple of years, where that was all that I could work on, was just to work on this one thing. Mm-hmm. So we have survived. I still got a house and a wife and family, and love abides. And I do know that it was a miracle from God. There's no question about it. My last verse. Over the last couple of years, too, there have been two words that have been keep surfacing. In fact, I was on an FCA outing here about 2 months ago, and the guys got to sharing and witnessing on that thing for a hunting outing weekend up in Maryland. That was interesting, duck hunting, but that's another whole story. And their subject for the weekend was one of these words. I said, I know verses about that. So we really got into some real interesting stuff. They were opening the Bibles, and I was quoting something without the Bible. I thought that was cool. But there's two words in the last 2 years that has come about. Peace, that I've already talked about. Peace comes from God. We can't create it. The other word is steadfast. Steadfast is something I think that God expects from us to be steadfast in the Word with Him. So I've got one last verse that sums up and has these two words in it. It's Isaiah 26:3. I misspelled Isaiah, by the way. Isaiah 26:3. Do you know it? Do you believe it? I do. I see a couple of you shaking your heads. Awesome verse. And it's one that I've put in some books that I've put together photography-wise and stuff. It's just one of my favorite verses. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. I'm going to say it one more time because you just got to internalize that. You, God, will keep in perfect peace him, that being us, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. Because we trust him. And we're steadfast in his word. He grants us that peace. And that's part of my story. And as they say, I'm sticking to it. Because God is good. Thank you for your time.